Here we go, hour number three. Live in Southern California in a brand new studio. I am Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day because it is the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. In this third hour, I've got Willie McGinnis from NFL Network coming up in 15 minutes. Tennessee Titans tight end Delanie Walker coming up at 40 past. You have your phone number. You know, find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can also email me directly. You know that too. If you're joining us late, we've talked about, among other things, Lakers-Warriors. That was way back in segment one, hour number one. Golden State did not have one of their better games, but they didn't need to. They do what champs do. They show up when they have to. They flip the switch. I thought the Lakers had a nice night. I'm not about moral victories. I'm not about participation trophies, but that was a nice game for them. I've been trying to get to day two of the Geno Smith era. Probably won't get to that before I have my interview with Willie McGinnis, so we'll get into that with him. I do want to talk Michigan football. We also had Paul Chryst on the program ahead of the Big Ten title game. Dana White, a reset. And let me talk about some other college football. Tennessee, which we hit on, and I mentioned Lane Kiffin. You can tell we've had a pretty good show. Tennessee is getting most of the attention for that disastrous coaching search, and they're still looking for a head coach. They were turned down again. While they're getting most of the attention, Jimbo Fisher's situation at Florida State is getting more and more bizarre every single day. Now, a few weeks back, when the rumors of Texas A&M making a run at Jimbo first surfaced, it seemed pretty ridiculous, frankly. There was no way that could ever happen. And yet, not only did those rumors not go away, they've picked up steam, and they've gathered enough heat that USA Today reported yesterday the school was already looking at potential replacements. And then we had the Jimbo Fisher call-in show yesterday. Normally, coaches' shows are not exactly the most dramatic things ever. Even when you have a live studio audience, typically nothing good ever happens. But this one did get a little spicy when a gentleman named Michael got up and he asked Jimbo a question. Roll it, Alvy.
One of your press conferences, and how you would talk about how we need to be committed to the program and keep cheering for the team, and we need to be talking about that, about loyalty to the program. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, where's the loyalty to the program? It's here tonight, I'll tell you. It's here tonight on Wednesday, Michael.
Okay.
That's all right. West Palm.
Get it, Mike. All right, so the audio on that's not perfect, but let me recap. This guy stands near the front of the room, goes with a nice build-up, and then drops a, where's the loyalty to the program? And the way he set that up was, hey, listen, coach, I've heard you say it. Stand by the program. Be loyal to the program. You asked that of us fans. Be loyal to the program. So let me ask you, where is the loyalty to the program? Then he got the mic ripped away from him. And that wasn't one of those kind of like nice, gentle, hey, can I get that mic back? That was pretty vigorous. My man was not going to let this rogue ask another intense question. Like, where is the loyalty to the program?
Where's the loyalty to the program?
So this guy jumps up. Somebody repping Florida State jumps up, gives this guy a shove, and then escorts him out of the room.
Give me back my son! Give me back my son!
At least that wasn't awkward. Hey, look, I'm not sure if that's on Jimbo or that overzealous dude in the FSU gear who nearly separated this guy's arm from his torso and then ran him out of the room. But then again, it's not like the coach did anything to stop him, which is kind of why this whole story is still going, because Jimbo has done nothing to stop it. And let's be very clear about this. You need to go see the video for yourself, but let's not act like this was some confrontation with a crazed fan. Like this was some guy who had way too much to drink and got right in the coach's grill. That's not what that was. This is some guy who's mild-mannered, doesn't seem to be the least bit nervous. He's not all hyped up. He's actually very calm about the whole thing and asks a fair question. This is not some lunatic in a jersey with face paint who's fueled up, screaming at a head coach for going 3-5 in the ACC and getting humiliated by Boston College. He's simply asking, where is the loyalty? You've always asked loyalty from us. Now, where's your loyalty to us? Then again, with all of this smoke around Jimbo and the possibility of him leaving, what did you expect would happen at the coaches' show? That people would want to talk about Saturday's big game against Louisiana Monroe? You're 5-6. You're playing a rescheduled game against a tomato can so you can get to the Magic Six wins and become bowl eligible. You're lucky people even care enough to show up for the coach's show or want you around enough to care about your loyalty. With everything that's going on, did you really think that they'd be pressing you for information on how you're going to deal with the Warhawks defense that allowed 67 to Arkansas State? Or whether you can slow down a team that was tied 7-7 with Auburn at the end of the first quarter? So what's the deal with the dude bum-rushing the questioner right out of the building? And why not just answer the question? It really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that harsh. Instead, you let a nothing situation turn into something. You took a nothing situation and you turned it into something. All in all, as weird as that moment was, I'd still say it was a lot better than it could have been. Because it could have been a lot worse. It could have been about as comfortable as that time that a certain running back sat down for a certain call-in show way back in the day.
Juice, can you hear me, Juice?
Yes, I can hear you, buddy.
Remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill Bill Walsh?
That I was what?
I don't know what my favorite part of that is. That this guy said, the way he set him up, hey, Juice, do you remember when you played for the 49ers? Yeah, sure I did. Did you kill Bill Walsh? You understand the question? Like, OJ killed two people, so this guy's making a joke of that. I don't know. Yeah, funny stuff. I don't know what's funnier, him asking OJ if he killed Bill Walsh, or the guy feeling the need to disguise his voice as if somebody might recognize him. Hey,
Juice. Can you hear me, Juice?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Juice?
Juice, can you hear me, Juice?
Did you kill George Seifert? Hey,
can you hear me, Juice?
Hey, Juice. Like, this guy's going to lose his job or something. Like, somebody's going to ID this guy. Hey, man, I heard you on that internet radio program that five people were listening to. Better disguise my voice. Different name, different town, different voice. Before I call in and crank call the Juice and ask him if he killed Bill Walsh.
Juice, can you hear me, Juice?
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Hey, Jimbo, maybe you just answer the question and not have some guy run this guy off the stage for a moment that becomes viral and ends up on my radio program. You probably want to stay off the radar, but then again, you're not going to stay off the radar when A&M is coming as hard for you as they are and you're doing nothing to discredit the rumors. In other words, what I'm saying is that could not have been handled any worse than it was. You took a nothing and you made it a something. At JP Emmett tweets, do you have a shoebox, Jim? Do you have a light bulb? I can get you a warm sandwich then. Signed, Bernard Hopkins. That is absolutely a tip of the hat to the old school. One of my favorite anecdotes way back in the day. Bernard Hopkins, you know, I get this quite a bit. Hey, Rome, who's your favorite interview? Who's the best interview? And Elk always gets the nod. Steve Elkington is still the top-ranked interview in the history of the program. But if you want to talk about top 10, you want to talk about legacy interviews on this show, you want to talk about a body of work, Bernard Hopkins is definitely in that top 10. And although he told the story a few times over the years, the first time I ever heard Bernard Hopkins tell the story of going to a federal penitentiary for 5 years and letting us know what life was like on the inside, I'll never forget that. Nor will I ever forget the first time Bernard taught all of us how to make a microwave oven out of a shoebox while in the can.
You get a shoebox because we get sneaks in every month when somebody, you know, gracious to send you something. You save the box, which is really contraband. But you need the box. Why? You need to make a homemade microwave. You take a light bulb. You take that same cord with the socket. You get the same tape. You find a socket. You got two sockets in your cell. I'll never forget it. I ain't been in jail in 16 years. I'm pretty sure they ain't add another socket in there. And you plug it up. And you generate light. And when you generate light, you got a homemade microwave and you got aluminum foil inside, which generates heat. Now, the sandwich might take 2 hours to heat up, but you have a warm sandwich to eat. Egg sandwich, barbecue beef sandwich. It could be all any kind of sandwich that you need to eat up. Survival tactics of the penitentiary.
I don't know about you, but jail scares the hell out of me. I don't want to go to jail. And never mind, do I not have the patience? And I guess you would if you were there for a long, long stint. Not only do I not want to wait 2 hours for that egg sandwich to heat up, I don't think I'd survive 2 hours in jail. if that's what it takes. When he said survival tactics of the penitentiary. Number one, I don't know about you. I'm not real handy. I don't have the skill to make a shoebox microwave oven. But that tells you all you need to know that, man, and how good must that sandwich be? If you're in the hole or you're in the can and that's what your life is, and that's how excited you get about a hot ham sandwich of a microwave oven that you jerry-rigged, that you made yourself, I mean, damn, I don't want to go there. That's not a place I want to go to, and that's not a place where I want to live. But, man, what a story that is. A microwave oven out of a shoebox. It's Bernard Hopkins, a Hall of Famer, telling that story. That goes all the way back to 2004. All right, so it's one thing to make yourself a microwave oven. Hey, Hawk, you're pretty handy. There's got to be a shoebox around here. People send me shoes. Dude, can you go make us a microwave oven? We have so many boxes, shoeboxes. I got every kind of box imaginable. You can make me, let me save you the trouble, clones. You don't need to make anybody a house out of one of those boxes for some bum to live in. New studio, same rules. No bum smack. You could probably make me a whole kitchen out of those boxes. If you can make a microwave oven out of a shoebox, problem is, it's 11:15 Pacific time. We'd have to wait like 5 hours for that hot ham sandwich. I think I'll slam another granola bar. We've got a lot of boxes, though, that's for sure. I've got William McGinnis coming up in a minute. Let's see. Let's go to Jason in Albuquerque. You want to keep it an ABQ? Let's do it. Jason, you made it. What's going on? How are you?
In the box.
What's up?
What's up? Thanks for the vine. Just needed to rep the 505 a little better than Rex did, my man.
Please.
You know, vegan Hot Pockets, really? They might as well be low-fat, sugar-free Hot Pockets with tofu in them. But anyway, Rome, I wanted to get to the real reason why I called. And that's the cat. Rome, we all know you don't root for anything but a story. But Rome, I woke up this morning from my Serta mattress, put on some, coffee, put on my black laptop.
No. You don't like that coffee.
I don't like that coffee. Not a very good coffee.
Did you just say that you woke up this morning on a Serta mattress? Bro, you've been banned for life. Don't ever call this show ever again. You know better than that. And you're repping ABQ better. How many times have you said or heard me say I sleep on a Casper mattress? I sleep on a Casper mattress every single night. That I've gotten a good night of sleep every single night since I started sleeping on that Casper mattress. That I had no idea why I didn't sleep before. It was because I had a crappy old mattress. That you can get a Casper, that they will let you try it in your own home for 100 nights free of charge, that they slam that thing into a box so small you will not believe that you can get it from your door to your bedroom. How many times? 1,000 times? 1,500 times? And then you're going to come in with that crap and tell me what kind of mattress you sleep on. Like you're just going to kind of slide that in like that was going to be all right. And you're going to rep the 505 with that. I'd rather talk about explosive diarrhea. Come on, man. Don't you come up in here with mattress smack. I'm not having that. I'm not having that here in a new studio. I'm not having that in an old studio. I'm never having that. Albuquerque's having a bad day. Can I tell you something? And this is a market that means so much to me because they're an Original Four affiliate. You're having a bad day. Jim, diarrhea is the great equalizer. Diarrhea doesn't care who you are, where you are, or what you're doing. He's coming. Signed, Jim Rome, circa 2006. Drew in West LA. I don't know, Drew. I just frankly don't ever remember saying that. Keep my name out your mouth, circa 06. Now, if you can document or produce any audio of me saying that from back in the day, I will own it. And I know that I said and did things back in 06 that I would never say or do right now. And that this show was a very different show back then than it is right now. Go ahead, Stucknut. Do what you do. Find it. Prove it. If, in fact, I ever said that, I will own that. But I'm not saying that now. Time and place. But I am accountable. That's one thing I've always said. Be accountable. Own what you say, like I do. You make a mistake, own it. Apologize for it. Mean it. Keep moving. When we come back, William McGinnis will be joining us.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
lights.
I'll be honest with you. We're still hammering out a few of the kinks here. Brand new building, brand new facility, and we're hammering out the kinks. Yesterday was like this crazy, crazy adrenaline rush where we were up late at night trying to get the thing ready. We rolled in here. We were hyped, and I still am. I feel amazing. But there are some things that we're trying to work through, so hang with us. We're pros, so maybe you don't even know. William McGinnis is coming up. Old Drew in West L.A. said, I don't want to read it again because it's a rather distasteful take, but he sent it in the form of an email and he signed it Jim Rome circa 06. And I said, Drew, that does not sound like something that I would ever say. Not then, not now. However, if I did say it, I would own it. So obviously a number of you honks are furiously efforting whether or not I said that thing. Dear Jim, you want to know what I would have done to silence that fan at Jimbo's radio show? Go ask the front man of that country band, signed Josh Beckett. All right, anyway, I've got William McGinnis coming up. We are efforting him. You want trusty professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your car. You know, brands that you can trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day. As much as it's becoming an annual tradition at Michigan to lose to Ohio State, here's another tradition that might have Michigan men turning blue. Jim Harbaugh can't find anybody who wants to play quarterback for him. And I'm pretty sure that that was not supposed to be the storyline 3 years into Harbaugh's time at Michigan. Three seasons in, he was supposed to be competing, if not winning, national championships. Competing for national championships and not for graduate transfers that he can plug and play. I mean, it's been a hell of a week for the fourth best coach in the Big Ten East. And in addition to coughing up that 14-point lead at home and getting beaten down by Herb and the boys for a third straight season, Harbaugh lost two quarterbacks this week. Injured starter Wilton Spate, backup Alex Malzone. If you're counting, that's now three transfers in two seasons at the position. A revolving door in the quarterback room is not exactly what you're looking for when you're three-plus years into building your program. Listen, Michigan man, I know you will. You'll flip this any way you want. But there's only one football. Malzone was never going to play. Spate saw the writing on the wall and didn't want to compete with Brandon Peters or Dylan McCaffrey. But here's the bottom line. There's no position more important in any sport than quarterback is in football. And there's no position that Harbaugh has mangled more than quarterback. You'd think he'd know. He played the position at the highest level, and he played it pretty well. So while I know it sounds awesome to tell people that football is a meritocracy, that a depth chart is fluid, but not week to week or practice to practice. I know people say that, but I'll tell you what's not awesome. Having to turn quarterback recruits into tight ends. Having guys that you invested years in transfer on you, and more than one. And having to comb the leftovers bin to find a graduate transfer who won't arm punt the ball to your biggest rival like John O'Korn did last week. And that's not on bad luck or injuries, because that happens to every team. Hell, some camera dude basically went galooly on JT Barrett's leg, who incidentally is going to have knee surgery and apparently play this weekend. That's the latest with him. Yeah, well, that happened. Some guy goes galooly on Barrett's leg, and that didn't put a dent in Ohio State's game plan. So I don't want to hear about we didn't have our starter, we had bad luck. So as the Wolverines wait for their mediocre bowl assignment at the end of another disappointing season that had Michigan lose to the two teams that they brought Harbaugh home to Ann Arbor to beat, ask yourself this, Michigan fan, who's got it better than us?
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
Basically everybody. Everybody else when it comes to finding quarterbacks. That's not the way that was supposed to go. Okay, now, going back to the other would-be controversy of the moment. Drew in West LA writes via email, Jim, diarrhea is the great equalizer. Diarrhea doesn't care who you are, where you are, or what you're doing. He's coming. Signed, Jim Rome, circa 2006. He did that in response to me running a caller who was talking about explosive diarrhea. And my response was, look, we're not, it's juvenile. It's sophomoric. It's beneath me and the quality of my program. I'm not going there. And Drew said, oh, really, Rome? You're not going there. How about you and circa 2006? And my response was, I didn't say that. I didn't think that. However, on the off chance that I did say that, why don't you produce evidence of it? And if you have evidence of it, I will own it and be accountable for it. Just like I demand accountability and ownership from everybody else in the sports world. And lo and behold, somebody has produced audio of me saying that. So, Alvin, why don't we find out? Did I, in fact, say what Drew in West LA says that I said circa 06? Let's
listen.
When you
get right down to it, diarrhea is the great equalizer. Think about it. Diarrhea doesn't care who the hell you are. It's coming. He doesn't care who you are or what you do or where you are. He's coming. That's what makes the guy so dangerous. Now, I don't know if this is some great urban myth or legend, and I can only say that I've heard this. I've never known anybody to try this. I don't know whether or not it works, but I've heard this from more than one source. You know, I got cops who listen to the program. Tell me if it's true. I've heard that about the only way to get out of a speeding ticket is to play that card.
Hey, anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? That obviously wasn't me. That was one of those millions of Jim Rome impersonators that were everywhere. That obviously was not me. You know that was not me. That pretty much was me. I guess I did say that back in the day. Hey, listen, first of all, I said it. It was me. I'm accountable. I will own it. Drew in West LA, I apologize. You had it right. I'm sorry, Drew.
Diarrhea doesn't care.
Hey, that's okay, Alvin. We got the point. We got the point. I stand corrected. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be one of those guys who has an apology and then explains, hey, if I offended anybody, I'm truly sorry. I will say that I've had, I don't know, like 5 million takes over the past 30 years. You might imagine where I might have forgotten one or 100. Hey, Drew, how do you even know something like that? Was that such an unforgettable take, Drew, that, oh, yeah, really, Rome? How about that time when you said this? If I didn't remember saying that, how did you remember that I said that? Clearly, the internet is in ink, and so is all the audio. I cannot believe that somebody produced audio of something I said that I didn't remember that I said. That was from 06. And how about me referring to diarrhea as that guy? That guy's coming now, and there's nothing you can do about it.
He doesn't care who you are.
Diarrhea's coming off the edge, man. There's no way to block him. Hey, let me ask you something, all right? So this is the way the world is. That's great. That literally, that's perfect. That's how this show sounded in 06. Are you really going to say to me that that show was better then than it is now? Wait, don't answer that question. Luckily, I need to get out. Been a really forgettable topic. I'm gonna do my best to forget it. Like I had forgotten that take, apparently. Hey, Drew, you're pretty happy with yourself? You should be. Well, I didn't find William McGinnis. And now I gotta find Delanie Walker.
He's
so I'm
coming.
Gonna start to Alvin. Come on, man. Obviously, Alvin's pretty comfortable in his new environment. Delanie Walker joins me when we come back, but first a sports update. Jeez, I cannot believe there was sound or audio of that. You guys find this audio. Alvin, did you even have that in your archives? No, because I probably told you to erase it as soon as I said it. You can't erase things that have been said. Time for a sports update. Here you go. Jim Rome here on this Thursday. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and they will help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your car. Brands that you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner Thermo Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, I interrupt that stream of thought. I know you clones were enjoying that conversation very much. I want to talk some NFL. We're joined right now by a two-time Pro Bowler. He's a tight end for the Tennessee Titans. 4 receptions, 63 yards, and a touchdown in that Week 12 win over Indianapolis. For the season, 53 receptions. Played his college ball at Central Missouri, and you got a key matchup. Houston at Tennessee, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Delanie Walker is my guest. Delanie, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. Hey, let me get you to go back. First quarter of Sunday's game against the Colts, Marcus Mariota hit you with that 37-yard pass into crazy coverage. In fact, I'm not sure what was better, the throw or the catch. Can you take us through the play? What did you see, and then how fired up were you to make that play?
Basically, you know, I started in the backfield to see what coverage we was going to get and try to get the over front set to the right, which we did. So you see me motion up on the line, single high. That's what we was looking for. And if you really look at it, we only had two guys running the route, basically. So he really didn't have no choice but to throw it to me. As you've seen, 4 or 5 guys running with me. Marcus put the ball in the perfect spot. That's what gave me the ability to just go get it. If he didn't do that, I mean, any other way, they probably would have broke it up. So it was all Marcus.
Well, it was all him. It was actually both of you. It was a great play. Now, when you scored on Sunday, you dropped down, you did some chest compressions and CPR on the football. Was it something you had planned, or was that just a spur-of-the-moment thing?
It was like a spur-of-the-moment. I don't even know why. I didn't even know where it came from. I just thought of, like, we're coming back. And it was basically like, I'm putting Aaron is keeping us alive with this touchdown. It kind of blew up. Everybody, you know, I guess, liked that celebration, and it's talked about. But it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and I'm kind of glad I did it.
I like it. Me too. Delanie Walker joining us. Now, you're absolutely legendary for your use of the stiff arm. But after Sunday's game, you were saying that Derrick Henry might be the king of the stiff arm now. Now, was that just you being happy and generous after a nice win, and maybe something you'd like to have back? Or are you officially handing the crown to Henry?
You know what? He kind of took it from me because, you know, I like the stiff arm, but Derek, his stiff arm is vicious, and it's like constantly guys get hit with it. And I said in the paper, I said basically he became the king. I gave him the crown, and now I'm the hand. You know, I still can stiff arm, but he does it a little better than I do. And, you know, I'm going to try to get it back, though. I'm going to try to get it back.
That's a crown.
Like that.
Yeah, that's a crown you should battle for. And, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. You've been doing it for a long time, and that stiff arm is something that fires up your teammates. So what's your reaction when you see Henry dropping guys with a stiff arm? Does that fire you up in return?
Of course it fires me up. If you hear me on the side, they got me mic'd up. I'm like, run it again.
Right.
I just want to see him stiff arm somebody again. And I feel like guys are really scared to tackle this dude, honestly.
Delanie Walker, my guest. Now, after the loss to Pittsburgh, you talked about the fact that you were a bit frustrated with the offense, that it was not clicking the way that you know that it can. Coming off the win over Indy, do you feel like the offense is closer to breaking through?
I feel like we're getting there. I still don't think we at the point we should be at. We got guys on this offense that can make plays. We got the quarterback. We got the running backs and the O-line. And sometimes I'm just disappointed that we not winning games by more points. You know, mostly all the games we have won have been 3 or 4 points or more. And I feel like we should be putting more points on the board.
You know, is there a certain positivity to it in the sense that maybe you're not clicking on all cylinders, but you still have won 5 of 6. So what's to say about the team in terms of its toughness and its ability to find a way to get a win when you have to?
That's the thing. Even though we're not, you know, clicking the way we should, we still win in games. So imagine when we put a perfect 60-minute game together, we can put points on the board. And all it is just a few mentals here, a few guys not really being where they're supposed to be. Once we get that together, you know what I'm saying, this offense can be great because our defense is running at all cylinders. And, you know, at to be honest with you, they keep us in games. And I'm glad to have a defense like that.
Delanie Walker is our guest. Now, every game is big, but when you have a division opponent like Houston in your place on Sunday to start off the final 5 games of the season, does this one feel even bigger than most?
Of course. It's a divisional opponent. We need this win to get on track for the playoffs. And I just hope everyone in this locker room really understands, because the coach is putting it out there, that this is a big game. It's a big game. We don't care what their record are. They're in our division. This is going to put us up in the playoffs even higher. So we got to get this W. I'm excited about this week.
It seems to me, and you just started the thought, that in the past few weeks you've dropped a couple of tweets that are about, I think, this topic, right? Seizing the moment. As an example, there's the Charles Dickens quote, "My advice is never do tomorrow what you can do today. Procrastination is the thief of time. Call him." So do you feel like you've got an extra sense of urgency at this point of the season, and is that the message you're trying to spread throughout the locker room?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. This is the year that we have an opportunity to go to the playoffs. Let's not wait till tomorrow when we can seize it today. And that's all I tell the guys in this locker room. Seize it today. Do what you can do to get better today. If that's studying extra, if that's getting in the cold tub, if that's getting treatment, you do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because we don't know what happens tomorrow. You know, that's blind to us. So that's the message I'm sending to all these guys, is do it today.
Yeah, Delanie, you've been around a long time. You know this, right? You've been around since 06, and so you've seen everything. You've done everything. I know why you've got that sense of urgency. Like the young guys, do they look at you and kind of nod you up like, yeah, I got it, I got it, old head, I got it? But do they really have it? Until they've been through what you've been through, can they really understand how important all those little things are every day?
You know, it's real. You said some. That's true. What you said is real. You know, some of these young guys, I tell them stuff, and they kind of look at me like, yeah, I got it. You know what I'm saying? And I really don't know if they got it. You know, at the end of the day, they are young, and sometimes it takes experience. I was probably the same way when I started in 06 when the vets was telling me something. I'm like, yeah, I hear you, you know, but you really didn't hear them. So hopefully these guys understand where we at. This is a great opportunity. See, some of them haven't been here. I've been here for 5 years, and I had some of the worst seasons I ever played here. And now that we have a great opportunity and a great team, I hope that these guys really see that.
You know, it's going to mean so much more to you because you've been through what you've been through there. When you've been down near the bottom and now you're trying to get back to the top, it means so much more. It's got to be so much sweeter. So it's about the big picture, but your name is coming up in Pro Bowl conversations once again. What would it mean to you to be named to yet another Pro Bowl, and especially at this stage of your career?
It'll mean a lot, to be honest with you. Playing at 33 and still going out there playing at a high level, and my peers see that, the fans see that. It'll mean a lot to me. That just shows everything I'm doing on the off season, doing in this facility, is paying off. And I'm just glad that I'm still able to play at a high level.
You've got Tennessee at home against Houston on Sunday. It's a 1 p.m. game on Eastern. It is a big matchup. Delanie Walker is a 2-time Pro Bowler. Delanie, so good to have you on. Great to have you back, in fact. Really nice to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delanie Walker. Titans are finding a way to get it done. You know, he was real about that. Like, the offense, in his opinion... And if you're watching the Titans, you know that you're looking at these guys, and they've got weapons, and they've got upside, and they've got the ceiling, but they're not quite there, and he acknowledged it. He said, but the defense is keeping us in it. We're finding ways to win. We've won 5 of 6, and as soon as we put it all together, look out. So they're close. And then you've got a key matchup coming up this weekend. 1-800-636-8686. I've got time for a phone call or two. Let's go to Las Vegas. Aaron in the 702. Aaron, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a scorching hot take on Eli Manning.
What do you got?
He is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history. He has not been good for a very long time, and his Super Bowls should belong to his defenses and a couple lucky catches. All right, he hasn't been good for a very long time, and I know this because the Eagles play him twice a year, and I watch us beat them down. And the only reason he's in the Hall of Fame conversation is because of his last name. That's his ticket to the Hall of Fame, everything his brother has done. All right, and for some reason, everybody's so upset about this benching. It should have happened 3 years ago. I don't understand why.
All right, let me help you. I'll help you understand, Aaron. I think, number one, you're confusing a hot take with a bad take. Eli Manning's a very good quarterback. Eli Manning is arguably a Hall of Fame quarterback. And if you were to ask me, I don't have a vote. I'm not on any kind of committee. I'm not going to be in that room. He's going to end up with that gold blazer that his brother has. I'm not saying that he's the quarterback that his brother is, but he'll probably end up with that gold blazer. He's not only a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, he is a two-time Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback. I'm not saying that at 36, he's the player that he used to be. I'm not even saying that you can't bench Eli Manning. I'm saying there's a right way and a wrong way to handle that, and they handled that all wrong. And I am saying that while they're 2-9, and they've been one of the biggest disappointments of the year in the NFL, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he plays in front of a crappy offensive line. It's not his fault that they can't run the football. It's not his fault that he lost his four top receivers on the same day. These are not Eli Manning's fault. Just as it's not his fault that they want to, quote, evaluate Geno Smith, so they're going to bench him for Smith. So that's not really a hot take as much as it is a bad take. Not bad like Cal Ripken is the most overrated guy ever, and I'd pay $1 million to spray mace in his face, like that one caller said. But not a very good take nonetheless. Let's get to a huge call. I know that's not going to be it, but Alvin, there's got to be something from earlier today. I don't know, something that jogs my memory. I feel like maybe we had a call from Edmonton earlier today. That's your cue to roll it.
Or to any of the Tiger Honk Nation, but Romy, you're paid to be objective, therefore you do not and will not ever understand our pain. We're the victims of a manipulative and abusive relationship that we can't walk away from. My entire golf bag is tricked out with Nike gear. I'm not even sure if I like Nike clubs. I just play them because Tiger plays them, or used to anyway. And who cares that we still watch old YouTube clips of the best domination sports has ever seen? Hawk and Keith are probably on a binge as we speak. We're sick, all right? We're ill, and we need help, and we know it, but we refuse to seek it because all we want is one more hit of that drug that is Tiger Woods. And ironically, the fact that he wrecked his rig yet again and is playing sober, I'm a bigger believer than ever. So let's war Hawk getting another cat and naming him Tiger. Thanks again, Romy. I'm out.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
I would tell you exactly where Woods is right now on the leaderboard, but he's not on the front page. And the tournament's got like 17 guys. So I'm not exactly sure where he is. Huge tweet brought to you by Castrol Edge Extended Performance. Castrol Edge goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge is more than just an oil. It's liquid engineering. Castrol Edge. My thanks to our guests. We had Delaney Walker. We had Paul Crist. My thanks to the XR14.